Trust. We've been on a journey engaging trust, planting seeds and letting go. Where is God in the worst? As we turn our hearts now to imagining the impossible, let's invite the presence of the Spirit among us to evoke that within us in the name of Jesus Christ. I invite us to turn our attention to prayer. Turn to number 144. And we're going to spend a moment in prayer for those things which seem to be impossible as we prepare our hearts to receive the word spoken to us in Christ.
Reading from Isaiah 11, 6 through 9. The wolf shall live with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea.
But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you.
There's no use trying, Alice in Wonderland says. One can't believe impossible things. I dare say you haven't had much practice, says the Queen. When I was your age, I always did it for half an hour a day. Why, sometimes I've believed as many as 6 impossible things before breakfast. After the events of September 11, 2001, our nation had so much capital in terms of world sympathy. That was just one of the times I wish Jesus were our president. I believe Jesus would have gone to Afghanistan. And I believe he would have started passing out bread and maybe rebuilding some homes and some schools in the mountain villages. Instead, the strategy has been to drop bombs. That was the strategy then, that's the strategy today. Hurting, maiming, killing. I think we call it defense. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. That's how we do it. That's how all the nations do it. You step on us, we'll pounce on you. This is natural, I guess. but it is not the way of Jesus. It's easy for me to blame our nation's leaders for their warmongering, for their seeking revenge. But just let an act of violation or injustice come to my house. And then I rail. This is wrong. This should not be happening to me. And I'm right. But I do more than just nurse my wounds. I often react with a knee-jerk response, and my weapon of choice is words. I know how to fight fire with fire. Barbara Brown Taylor tells the story of her little nephew Will's first birthday. He was a typical only child, she says, only he was not spoiled yet because he did not know how to manipulate love for his own ends. He simply gave it away as fast as he got it. At his first birthday party, there were a number of guests. The room was full, and there was among them 7-year-old little Hans. Well, this 1-year-old Will had just learned a new trick. He had learned to twirl around, and the crowd was watching his new little dance and smiling and enjoying it when 7-year-old Hans came charging through the crowd and took Will by the shoulders and shoved him down hard, and he hit his bottom first and then cracked his head. And he began to howl. No one had ever hurt him before. So his mother hugged him, helped him to his feet, and the first thing little Will did was go right over to 7-year-old Hans and put his arms around him and lay his head on his chest. Barbara Brown Taylor says, well, at that time, all my Christian convictions went out the window. She said, I just wanted to buy my nephew Will a karate video for toddlers. It just killed her to see this sweet child who hadn't learned to defend himself get run over. She could just imagine all the bullies on the playground from now on pushing Will around. Only according to Jesus, Will was right and Barbara Brown Taylor was wrong. Do not resist an evil doer. Love your enemies. What little Will did to 7-year-old Hans was put an end to the meanness in that room. Jesus seems to understand that the real enemy is not the one who pushes us down, but the one inside us who leaps up and wants to push back. The moment we curse our aggressors, we join them. So Jesus challenges us to imaginative ways of disarming our enemies, of disarming the violence and the oppression. He gives us these creative, fluid little examples in the Sermon on the Mount, the other cheek, the coat and shirt, the second mile. And as those of you who've been steeped here in this Anabaptist seminary in your studies know, there is something other than just fight or flight. There is another way. It's the way of the Spirit of Jesus. And likely all of you who are seminary students and professors are well aware of the context in which Jesus gives these teachings. Still, I like to be reminded of the context according to Walter Wink, and I'm just going to remind you again today. The first illustration is in the context of this master-slave relationship, and since the left hand was never used for anything except unclean tasks, even the right hand was used for even slapping. And slapping was always done with the back of the hand because that's the way you humiliated and shamed. I brought my colleague here for a reason. I think I'll just ask him to come up so I can demonstrate this. If you use the right hand on the right cheek, and Jesus says, turn the other one, it has a way of throwing the oppressor off kilter, of seizing the initiative. It's like saying, try again, your first blow didn't achieve its effect. And it might just make the oppressor think. Reminds me of the lunch counter training for the civil rights movement and the pouring of ketchup. Maybe if you can just take more ketchup, the oppressor's going to be thrown off kilter and think. Or look at Jesus' second example. Debt was such a big problem in Jesus' day. High taxation, the creditors coming to foreclose land and belongings. As I understand it, they could take everything up into the coat. And Jesus is saying, take everything off, way into the undergarment. Give the oppressor an opportunity to think. The third illustration offered by Jesus is in the context of the Roman occupation. Roman soldiers, as you likely know, would commandeer anyone they saw. They could commandeer them to carry their belongings for a mile. And if they refused to do it, they would be flogged. Jesus doesn't say, as the zealot said, befriend the soldier and then put a knife in them. Jesus instead calls the victim to seize the initiative again by going the second mile. Again, giving the oppressor a chance to reflect on what they are doing. In all of these examples, Jesus rejects violence, but also rejects passivity. He's urging us to be imaginative. There is something other than fight or flight. Look for that creative strategy in addressing offenses. Trust the Spirit and the Spirit's ingenuity and creativity. I love the story of John D. Roth, who was on a commuter train in Germany. There was an old man sitting in the back of the commuter train who was in rags, and when four teenagers came into that car, they went to this man and began harassing him and jeering at him and then kicking him and punching him. John was looking on powerlessly at this violence. And then after he said a prayer, he got up and he went to this man who was now practically falling over and in his best German said, Hans, I haven't seen you for a long time. We need to catch up. Why don't you come sit with me? The man in that moment of silence got up and followed John to the other side of the car, and the stunned teenagers got off at the next stop. There was a businessman in my town who had a longtime employee that he discovered was embezzling funds, taking money out of the drawer. There was kind of some keeping track of just how much money was being taken, and they didn't know exactly who was doing it, but when he found out, his knee-jerk response was to fire this employee who had worked for him a long time. He could not tolerate cheating and deception. And then he prayed about it. And he decided to write out a check for the amount this person had stolen from him invited him into his office and said, "You know, if you ever have needs, I hope that you come and talk to me. I have a check here. Would this help your family's needs?" Well, this act helped the man become confessional, and he refused to take the check, but he also admitted what he had been doing and said, "I want to pay back every penny," which he did, and a relationship was reestablished. The Spirit of Jesus is so very creative, but often we limit the vision the Spirit wants to give us. Our invitation, though, is to trust. To trust Christ's Spirit and know we're not responsible for the outcome and how people respond, but we are responsible to follow the way we are being led by Christ's Spirit. In July, this past July, I was asked to give an ordination sermon for a colleague in another city, a very gifted woman, and the congregation had spent a lot of time discerning her gifts, and it was a very joyous occasion. About a third of the way into my sermon, a protester, a stranger from out on the street, came in the back door and loudly from the back of the sanctuary started denouncing what we were doing, saying that ordaining a woman was an abomination to the Word of God. In a matter of seconds, people in the congregation, several people, jumped up, went to this person, put their arms around him, and walked him outside. Remarkably, the words I had just said prior to this interruption were these: "I have learned over the years when I treat both the bruised one and the one who does the bruising with compassion, I become more whole." So after they took him out, I said, "Let me remind you what I just said. I have learned over the years that when I treat the bruised one and the one who does the bruising with compassion, I become more whole." Well, this intruder promised not to come in again and disrupt the service, but near the end of my sermon, he came in again and sat near the front of the sanctuary. He only needed to disrupt two more times. One was when this woman was being ordained, and he shouted so loudly, "No." But what I saw was that a whole group of people were kneeling around where he was sitting. They were gently talking with him. They were providing a protective barrier. They were praying quietly. And after the service, so many people, the intruder stayed for the whole service, and afterwards, so many people went up to greet him, to learn to know who he was, and to invite him to stay for lunch. He declined that invitation. But I do wonder what the welcoming gestures and caring gestures of that congregation said to this person who had chosen to disrupt the service. Sometimes it's just an invitation to dinner, an unexpected word or action, or a gift the Spirit might be laying on our hearts. Jesus challenges us to trust today, to trust the creativity of His Spirit, to trust the Spirit's movement, to trust the way that Christ is opening for us to follow, Christ is inviting us to imagine six impossible things before breakfast. And then let Jesus lead us into going another mile, turning another cheek, giving to the one who's stealing from us. And in the process, enemies can be disarmed and community can be built. This is as small as the little circle of our acquaintances, and I think it's as big as all the nations. The prophetic imagination enables us to see lambs and wolves and calves and lions together. With a little child like Will placing his head on the chest of the one who's just pushed him down, leading the way for all of us. Leading the way into active peacemaking, which is different than passive peacekeeping. We can sigh. We can quote the scripture, "There will always be wars and rumors of wars." Or we can trust the creativity of the Spirit of Jesus and the promises of the peaceable kingdom. When everything in our culture tells us this way is impossible, we can lean into Jesus and know that with God, nothing is impossible. Sometimes our vision is just too small. A few years ago, I spent a week with the Carmelites, and I will never forget the young priest who led us in communion. He was from Northern Ireland, and he had experienced a great deal of violence in his life. He was young. He had only been ordained for like 2 weeks. And he was in his 20s. And he came. And he lifted the bread. And he said, "This is the reconciling love of Jesus. This is the way Protestants and Catholics in Northern Ireland are going to sit down at the table together. This is the way the Israelis and the Palestinians are going to sit down at the table together. This is the way the barriers in South Africa are being broken through. This is the peace of Christ. Come and eat." Jesus is here. Jesus is here to enlarge our vision, to empower us to trust, to enliven our imaginations. Jesus is here to light the way. I remember watching the funeral service of Pope John Paul II and watching the world leaders at the time when it was time to pass the peace in the service. I remember seeing our president at the time was George W. Bush stand up and begin passing the peace of Christ to other world leaders who weren't necessarily always friends. And I thought at the time, and I prayed, you know, make this mean something, this passing of the peace. And so I'm going to invite us to just stand and wish the peace of Christ to those around you and have it mean something. Let us pray together. Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world. Grant us peace. Creative Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Open in us an ever-deepening trust. Expand our imaginations. And take us to new places in making peace. Take away whatever is limiting your movement within us. Forgive our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us your bread and make us your living bread. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.